I'm going to do my best to make it as quick as possible. But, you know, listening to these ladies here, you know, I think any parts of the world is going through a similar impacts, you know, similar situations. You know, and I'm here to talk a little bit about what we're going through, what we've gone through in the last 30 years or so with Hydro-Québec, mining and forestry, and so many other things going on. A few days ago, I think I've been introduced, right? Maybe I should just say my name properly. My name is Bertie Wapachi. I come from the Cree Nation of Namiska. And I grew up in this community called Namiska. You know, it's still called Namiska, even though it was relocated one time. Before I continue, I just want to know, is anybody here from the Quebec government or Hydro-Québec? I come from Northern Quebec, as I said before I was kindly interrupted. And I grew up in a river called Rupert's River. I don't know until I started school when I was 8 years old, I think. I guess I grew up in that river all those years. And over the years, last 3 decades or so, it's always been in the minds of Hydro-Québec, I guess, to one day dam that river, divert it, or just find a way to make it better than God, than the way God created it. And that's what they've been telling us. A few days ago, it was on the 20th of this month, Monday of this week, I was part of a press conference that basically, I guess, condemned the process of the environmental review of this project known as EM1A or Rupert's River Diversion. Some of you may have been aware that you know, some years back in 2001 or 2002, an agreement that was signed between the Crees of Northern Quebec and the Quebec government. It was known as the Pied de Brave, I guess. Piece of the brave, as they call it in English. But, you know, to some of us, so we say pay the brave. I don't know if you can get that. We've been brave all these years to stand up to governments and, you know, to Hydro-Québec. You know, we managed to change a few things the way progress is happening in our territory. But for some reason, you know, some people felt that we didn't need too much scrutiny anymore. Just go ahead, sign a deal, go ahead with the project, and continue on with natural resource development in our territory. Rupert's River is one of the what we call the ancient highways, I guess, of our nation. It provided us with so much, you know. It helped our nation survive to this day, and it is probably one of the last few rivers you can find in the world where you can jump in a canoe and, you know, start paddling, take a cup and dip the cup in the river and have a drink without worrying about contamination or pollution or anything like that. It's the last freshwater rivers that drains out into the James Bay. And it's very difficult, I guess, to see the things that are going on right now, especially the way things had happened some years back. When the Pied de Brave first came into the picture, you know, one of the things that happened is that, you know, right in front of everybody else, our people found out that, you know, our leaders have secretly negotiated a deal with the Quebec government. And part of that deal, I guess, mainly was to settle Quebec's past unfulfilled obligations with our nation, an agreement that they signed with us back in 1975. So this deal, basically, what it is to us is, you know, is a promise a promise to fulfill a promise that was made back in 1975. But what included in that agreement in principle We were shocked to find out that that there was such negotiations. But you know, like the rest of us, like the rest of you, with the rest of you, I should say, we had to watch on television our Grand Chief sign an agreement in principle with the Quebec government that also included a river that we love so much. It was a big surprise, a big turnaround, and I guess the principles of our leadership and our people in the end. As soon as this agreement in principle was signed, the first thing that happened is there was a split in our nation right across. Some felt, you know, it was better to let go of the river and move on with our lives and, you know, get more money. And others felt disappointed. You know, we certainly didn't agree with including a river in a package that was supposed to settle past obligations. So this is one of the key issues that are going on right now, I guess. You know, part of the press conference was to begin a campaign not only against the process itself that's reviewing the diversion of this river, but also it's a campaign to educate people like yourselves and, you know, hopefully the world, because one of the things that you have to understand that the Pit of Brev is when it was signed back in February 7, 2002. What it did is tied the hands of our own leaders not to speak against the project itself, not to take the Quebec government to court anymore. And, you know, it was basically, what would you call that? I guess to shut up our leaders. And that's why you don't hear our leaders talk against the Ruperts or any projects or even anything that happened before. So we were left, you know, as Crees, individual Crees, we were left to fight on our own. At first, we were fighting with ourselves. We were fighting with our leaders, you know, trying to get them to come out and represent us. So it's very difficult, you know, to be a Cree person right now because of this so-called agreement that's supposed to reconcile relations between Crees and the Quebec government and create a new relationship with them. You know, it's not so much of a relationship right now, to me anyway. Why? Because our leaders can't represent us, of those the Crees that are against this project, that are concerned of the environmental impacts, the ecological impacts, all over, including both James Bay and Hudson Bay. There's so much in there that that people need to know, especially the general public. Because when the agreement in principle was being, I guess, you know, there was a tour, consultation tour, where our leadership explained what the agreement was going to be, what it was about. You know, and all they could talk about is how much money we could get, how much money we're going to get. You know, there was all kinds of tactics that took place, you know, to scare off any opposition or even our people. You know, and when we look back, one of the things that we were told, one of the things that our people were told is that you're not consenting to the project, you're consenting to the study of the project. You know, but if you look at the Pit of Brev on the section of EM1A, you'll find that it says Crees give consent to the diversion of the Rupert's River. And the paragraph after that speaks about subject to, like the project would be subject to Section 22, which is the environmental review process. So, you know, there's so much going on, I guess, around the world. You know, we have our own issues up north. You know, we have problems, great problems with consultations and how they're done, especially with regards to what they call free, prior, and informed consent. You know, both the agreement in principle that was signed, which led to the signing of the Paix de Brave, did not follow the principles of that free, prior, and informed consent. Our people actually our leaders, if one took a good look at it, very close look at it, you'd find that our people's consent was basically manufactured. And that's a very difficult situation to be in. You know, and on top of that, our leaders have to keep quiet from now on, possibly for the next 50 years, because that's how long the agreement has to survive. Even in this process of diverting the Rupert's River, it's the same thing. They're not following the normal practices they would down south, where it takes a long process to study a project, to evaluate a project, where it involves a lot of cooperation. Well, it's not happening here. You'll find, I hope, you know, the organizers here will make a copy of this press kit. You'll get a chance to follow, I guess, the progress or what's happening in our area. But the fight began, I suppose, you know, Monday. You know, I've decided to, as a Cree individual, I decided to join with some new friends I've met over the last few months, you know, and join them, try to protect our rivers. Can you believe that non-native people protecting our rivers from us? That's a big change, isn't it? You know, about 10 years ago, we had some great leaders that fought for those rivers and for our land. You know, and we went to great lengths, international campaign everywhere. We were in New York. We were heard everywhere. And all of a sudden, you know, our leaders signed our rivers away. And on top of that, non-native people are fighting with us to protect our rivers. I mean, that's a big change in the course of our own history, I think. But, you know, it doesn't stop there, and I think the partnership and the relationship to protect the environment will come back, and it's coming back, and don't think that our people gave consent to destroy the environment in our area. We were manipulated. Our people were manipulated to get to that point through scare tactics, fear tactics, all kinds of tactics. The whole thing was orchestrated to make sure it passed. The same thing that's going on with this project. There are many shortcuts done by Hydro. You know, and Quebec government is just watching the whole thing, allowing it to happen. So they feel that this project is the cornerstone of the Paix de Brave. Well, we feel differently. The cornerstone of the Paix de Brave, the agreement that was signed back in 2002, is a settlement of past unfulfilled obligations by Quebec. That's what it is. Some months ago, PQ party, you know, came out to say that the cornerstone of the Paix de Brave was the Rupert's River diversion was the cornerstone of the Paix de Brave. Not true. It's the other way around. It's a settlement of what they didn't pay. But they're going to pay us what they owe us from the last 30 years, in the next 50 years. I guess that's the drag. So I want to do my best from now on, I guess, to participate in these things. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to be able to have the opportunity, I guess, to be here with you today and to listen to what everybody else is facing elsewhere in this world. You know, don't forget about us. You know, we'll fight with the rest of you to make sure this world, this earth, is protected for our children and their children. You know, the fight can't stop. We know that there's big money flowing around, and you know, and you know, we have a few dollars too hanging over our heads, you know, just to allow progress to happen in our territory. But no amount of money, I think, will protect the interests and the future of our children. You know, the more environment that's destroyed, the more rivers diverted. You know, we won't be able to practice the same things we did. Every river that disappears, every part of the land that disappears, our culture goes with it. So I think I'm going to stop there because, I'm not the most organized man in the world. I could have, I think, provided you with some nice pictures, and but maybe some other day. So I'm going to stop there and just say that this is not the end for Cree people fighting for the environment, but this is a continuation, but from a different group, because our leaders are tied down right now, and there's so much red tape that goes around, I guess, to go around everything. So we call that it's a duct tape situation. You know, it's not red tape up north, it's duct tape. So I'll stop there, and I'll thank you, everybody, for taking the time to listen to my presentation this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.